You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Ben Trefney, and I'm joined by reporter Jen Sheehan, who's been helping us today as we explore the past, the present, and the future of the sharing economy.
We're going to go back now to my conversation with Neil Gorenflo, publisher of the online magazine Shareable.net. We're talking about what it means to participate in this alternative economy. I asked him what's next as this movement gains momentum. Will it grow beyond the Bay Area? And he told me that it already has.
There's a worldwide boom in bike sharing going on, and that was really catalyzed by the VLib system in Paris in 2007. They kind of cracked the code for bike sharing in the city, and that has spread, and it's bike sharing is the fastest growing form of public transportation. Also in Europe, city-to-city ride sharing is unbelievably robust experience in business right now. So there's two main players there, BlaBlaCar and Carpooling.com, and they do millions of rides per month, people going between different European cities. In the developing world, sharing is an everyday part of life. They don't talk about it. It's woven into the culture.
Where do you think the sharing economy is headed? Is there a particular area that still needs innovating or an area that hasn't been explored yet?
I think it's going to head into virtually, and already is in some ways, heading into just about every area. Like, you know, education, healthcare. Healthcare is a lot of innovation already happening, and the higher ed is in particular seems to be in a state of crisis. And so we're in a kind of, renaissance or period of rapid innovation in education. I think healthcare, there's a lot of opportunities there. And stuff like childcare. We did an informal nanny share, and we saved like $10,000 by sharing childcare with other families in the neighborhood. It's really practical. I think the maker movement, for instance, is very, very important. One of the things that's happening is energy prices are going up, and production, the cost of certain production equipment is plummeting. And so the chance for just an ordinary individual to become a kind of one person manufacturer is, and do what only a big corporation could do just a few years ago, is now a reality. So you could, go on the internet and use Bright Idea or user voice and like brainstorm with your community for to get an idea, take that idea and prototype it at Tech Shop, like actually build a prototype. Tech Shop is an open access machine shop. Then you fund the prototype on Kickstarter, find a contract manufacturer, go into production, sell it on Etsy, or pick your Amazon, eBay, pick your marketplace. So you can do the whole thing from ideation to prototyping to funding to sales and marketing, and do it all on the internet.
So as the sharing economy does expand into more sectors, how is that affecting the mainstream economy or the economy as a whole?
Well, let's take, for instance, car sharing and the impact that it has. Here's the stats on car sharing. So one shared car replaces up to 13 owned cars. 50% of people who join to get access to a car who didn't already have access to a car. Right. So here's a thing that can dramatically reduce resource consumption, but also increase access to the resource at the same time. That's the beauty of sharing. That to add to that, this was a UC Berkeley study that those statistics from a separate study showed that if you take 15,000 cars off the ownership rolls in a city, a city could keep $127 million in the local economy annually. Because, 80% of cars spending on cars goes outside the economy, to car companies, oil companies, insurance companies, et cetera. So I think that this definitely shifts economic power more to the individual, more to the local economy, and that the implications are for, the biggest implications are for, incumbent large multinationals, which, are in the business of reducing the reliance on human labor as much as possible, so are not the future for individuals. And I think cities are really important to this shift to sharing. I mean, cities are designed in a way to be shared. They're platforms for sharing. And, for the first time ever in human history, there's more people living in cities than not, and also more people with a cell phone than not. And this offers, I think, a really important opportunity to really shift our economy towards something that's sustainable, and also that includes everyone, that everyone can get their needs met. And you know, there's a kind of burgeoning movement right now to address that. Here in San Francisco, we have the Sharing Economy Working Group that Cheryl helped launch with Mayor Ed Lee. And then also there's, you know, a group forming in New York, in Seoul, Korea, that the mayor is about to launch their Sharing City initiative. And he has a very impressive program put together to get behind that idea. And a sort of competition among cities is just getting started, but a very healthy competition to be the best places to share on the planet.
And the investment world is supporting all of this, right? There's been a lot of investing in sharing companies and this kind of thing.
Yes. One estimate puts it, the investment that's flowed in over the last 4 or 5 years at around $2 billion. So a significant amount of investment has gone in, for sure. You know, there are some analysts who see it just as extension of business as usual. And, you know, we're a nonprofit, we're an advocate for the public. And so we see it as a chance for something radically more more fulfilling and fair, and also less environmentally destructive. So that's, you know, that's our role in the conversation, is to try to drive things in that direction.